Welcome to episode 257 of the Outback Mind podcast. Thanks so much for joining in. Thanks also for the wonderful feedback we received for the last series we did around relationships with Donna. Amazing to experience that that three-part series. We're actually setting up a new podcast soon, so stay tuned for that one around relationships. So it's going to be totally separate from this one. So looking forward to sharing that with you, because Donna's got a lot of wisdom around this this particular topic, which can help a lot of people, save a lot of marriages, create a lot of marriages through, understanding of ourselves, more importantly, before we get into relationships and everything in between. So hopefully in the next week or two, it will be live. So keep an eye on Donna's page, donnaware.com.au, it'll keep you posted with what's happening. So more importantly today, though, I have a magnificent young man by the name of Brent Stevenson from Airlie Beach. He's a young entrepreneur on a mission. He's been doing some wonderful things to be able to help young men in the region, but also potentially being able to grow that more nationally, to be able to identify a bit of a gap where a lot of young fellas don't have positive male role models in their lives, and they need someone to guide them and support them. It's something I'm really passionate about as well. So we're going to have a bit of a chat about Brent's vision around that, but also his own personal journey into becoming an entrepreneur, and also some of the challenges he actually experienced with chronic pain and what he's doing now to be able to overcome that. So that's going to be probably very relevant to a lot of people that listen to this, that experience issues which quite commonly get blocked by our lifestyles and the way we live, the way we eat, and that sort of thing. So Brent's story will be really relevant to a lot of people. So I'm sure you're going to enjoy this chat. If you want to reach out, provide some feedback, please do. Support at outbackmind.org.au. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn if you're on that as well. Cheers. Thanks for listening in, and I appreciate your feedback. G'day, Brent.
Good afternoon.
Mate, really grateful to have you on here. Now, it's funny when you meet someone and you know there's a common bond way beyond the age difference. I'm about 19 years older than you, but when I met you, I could tell you someone that was really on a mission, and also that you'd done the work on yourself. And that's pretty rare, because lots of people talk about stuff, but the ones that are actually living it and actually lived through it, I think there's a real genuineness. And I picked it up in you early on, mate. So, just want to congratulate you for what you're doing and the work you've done on yourself. And obviously, we're going to talk a bit about that later. But I don't know too much about Brent personally from a young fella's point of view. So can you give us a bit of a snapshot on your background, your upbringing? Was that in Mackay? Is that right?
Yeah, that's one. First of all, honestly, thanks for that.
No worries.
It's a bit of a roller coaster picture where we are here today compared to a few weeks ago. Let's jump straight into it. So my upbringing, born in Townsville, grew up in Mackay from the age of 5 all the way through to 30. Did all my schooling there, got through school, worked a few different jobs, worked in the marine industry, started a plumbing apprenticeship. I kept going back to working with my dad in the swimming pool industry. He was a swimming pool builder, which inevitably he taught me, obviously, a lot of things I know in life. But he taught me a lot about pools, and then inevitably set me up with my own business doing swimming pool leaks and repairs.
Mm-hmm. Amazing, mate. So was that something you really wanted to do as a young fella, or is it you just obviously fell into it?
Look, it's a bit of both. Like, I think it's that... It was always that role model thing. Like, I always went to work with Dad on school holidays from as young as I can remember. Worked through that, but it wasn't my driving passion. I think I probably realised that. But again, it's always like, you always want to follow in your father's footsteps, I think. And he was a very big role model for me with that. He does a very good job. Still does. He's actually on his last job at the moment before retirement. And I guess I did always want to follow in that shadow. I always did know when I would come back and forth between different jobs, it wasn't my driving force. But I did also end up being quite good at it. I did know that it wasn't my passion. I did know that it was somewhat water-based in the marine industry.
Yes, yeah, of course, absolutely. Well, it's all based around the ocean and water pretty much. So you sort of, yeah, you got to love it or hate it, I suppose, at the end of the day. So amazing, mate. So with regards to that, I'd like to know, what were some of the personal interests that drove you as a young fellow? Did you always knew that there was something, know that there was something more, or did you sort of have a bit of a set path with the way you were brought up?
Yes and no. So looking back now from where I sit today, I connect the dots and I go, geez, the writing was sort of on the wall right throughout the years. But initially, no, like, fishing was just something that my dad taught me from a very young age. Like, I think there's photos of me catching whiting and mullet in the bucket from as long as I could stand. And then I think I was lure fishing and catching tarpon from about the age of three. Mm-hmm. But that just grew through the ages. Like, I remember reading fishing magazines with my dad when I was young, and he would point to a fish and I would see how quickly I could guess the size limit and the bag limit. Which is something we now aim to do with our own business today, is incorporate those little things. But I guess it was just that passion that just grew, and I always had it there. But I guess I probably never looked at it serious enough, as sort of a life course or a career until my later years. It was more of just one of those, you dream that one day you might be a fishing presenter, or you might get paid to go fishing.
Yeah.
It was never really a reality.
Yeah, amazing, mate. We'll get into that side of thing soon, but you know, you're very, you know, for a 33-year-old, you're very driven, and you're very, I suppose, aware of who you are, which I think is, you know, pretty incredible, because a lot of young fellas are still trying to find their direction and purpose. And I know we'll sort of go into the charity stuff, you know, fairly soon, but I know you had a real strong interest in helping young fellas. Where did that come from?
It was a turning point in my life, as all of us reach at some point, I think. But again, looking back now, I look back to my previous experiences, and I did always have this sort of a bug. But it really changed, going on 5 years ago. I had a turning point with an injury, mm-hmm. Which led me down a path. I'm not sure if you want to go into that straight away.
Yep, we will absolutely at some point.
You want to dive into it?
If you like, mate, go for it.
Righto. Well, look, going on not quite 5 years ago, I had a workplace accident at my swimming pool business. I slipped on the gutter, jarred my back. And, that transpired with about 8 months of, I returned to work, then eventually was off work and trying to rehab my back. 8 months it took for the doctors to finally send me for an MRI after begging them for 8 months, trying to get to the bottom of why I was in so much pain. And what transpired was I had 4 bulged discs and 2 herniated discs. Over that period, like, that was July 2019 was the initial injury. By about September, I'd returned to full work, being that when you own your own business, or even anyone, you simply just can't stop work without getting paid. So I stretched that for as long as I could, and then returned to work and proceeded to do a good number on myself, both physically and mentally. I just pushed on, you know, just the old, she'll be right, tough it out. At the same time, like I said, I'm going to doctors, I'm going here, going there, and everyone's going, we don't know what's wrong with you. Nothing's coming up. Have you tried this? What about this? I think everyone around me, look again, whether this was in my head or whether it was the fact, I think everyone around me was probably going, oh, there probably is nothing wrong with him. He probably just wants to get out of work. I got to the stage where I was like, freaking hell, is it in my head? Am I just making this up so I don't have to go to work? But I was in a lot of pain. Some days I struggled to walk. The other days, like, I'd be good, and then I'd go to pick up my shoes in the morning, bend over, and bang, spasm, and I'd be on the couch for 2 days. So that was basically the start of it all. And then it slowly just, it went downhill after that. I sort of I didn't get myself in the right mindset. It got the better of me. I very much fell into the victim mentality. It wasn't my fault. It was life's fault. It was a blame game. There was a lot of key factors. I probably can't go into them to too much detail for legal reasons. Over that time, it led me to a mind space and a physical space where I knew I needed to make change. I did know that there probably was only going to be one person to save me, but it was that victim mentality. Like, I slipped on the gutter. That was unfair. And I guess I was deep down expecting someone to come in and go, "Oh, mate, that's horrible. Here, let me give you a hand. Let me make it all better." So I ran from that for quite some time. And it probably transpired my 30th birthday. So we actually had a big birthday planned up here in the Whitsundays, which I planned. Basically, I started planning at the same time that I got that injury, within a couple of days of that. Started planning my 30th, big boat week up here in Ely Beach. We ended up a year and a half later planning. We ended up with three big bear boats, big catamarans with 24 of my mates for a week in the Whitsundays, celebrating not only my birthday but a couple other mates. And it was over that time I came to Ely Beach. I got to the marina and I got out there fishing and boating with all my friends and just fell back in love with it. Started seeing the smiles on my friends' faces when they were catching fish, one friend in particular. My unofficial goal of the birthday week was to catch a marlin and show a lot of my friends who don't get to see that side of the world, show them what it's all about. And within 2 hours of us setting sail, we had a 40-kilo marlin on board.
Jeez, amazing.
And that was a priceless experience for me, just seeing that unfold and seeing me kick into gear, my old deckhand self, kick into that gear and just make sure it ran so smoothly. That was probably one of those light bulb moments, or like that's where the fire started to burn again within me, just knowing that I had to get away from where I was, the environment that I was in, surrounded by myself in pain. That wasn't the healing environment that I needed. Mm-hmm. I needed to get back on the water and get back around the ocean and get back to, I guess, where I felt my heart desired and my heart belonged.
Amazing, mate. Yeah, it's funny how it all sort of turns full circle, isn't it? You get back to where you feel comfortable at the end of the day. You know, that's something which is natural to you. And if that makes you feel good, that's where you got to head. That's what a lot of people don't, I suppose, work towards or get to. Like they do things that take them out of alignment rather than keep them in alignment. And I think if you want to talk about mental health, you've got to try and do things where you feel like you've got a purpose and a need to be there, rather than just sort of do something which is, giving you an income but not really giving you, your life back at the end of the day.
100%. It's also what our big message is now. Like, look, money makes the world go round. We all need it. But if you're not, like you said, if you're not in alignment with yourself, you're just not gonna find that happiness, I don't think. Mm. And it's not till you break out of that and you do start to find that purpose, which I inevitably felt once we moved to Ely Beach. I started to be drawn back to my happy spot, which is on the ocean. It was there everything started to take off. Mm. We moved to Ely Beach just before Christmas in 2020. And then I just got back to living here, decided, righto, now's time to take it pretty serious, and got back into the physical rehabilitation. Started going fishing every day, just cruising around the banks, taking the dogs for a walk, start to live life again. And I noticed a massive change within myself. But I was still struggling. Like, I look back at it and I know I was still struggling. Mm-hmm. I was trying, struggling, and then I did hit a break point one day. there's a local creek down the road, and I was walking the crab pot in there every few days. And after multiple attempts, I couldn't even catch myself a crab.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I don't know, it was just one of those things. It was a moment, and it just got me. And so that day, I remember walking back from the creek. I rebaited the crab pot, walking back with the dogs. Bit of a limp on. I was having back drama, there was a lot of pain. And just, I guess it just, I got swallowed. It's something that, getting off topic a little bit, looking back, I'd always been grateful because I don't think I'd ever felt like mental health issues. Mm. I know a lot of my mates have been quite open about their battles with depression and anxiety and all that sort of thing. And I'd always been grateful I don't think I'd ever felt that. Looking back now, knowing what I know, there probably was points and times in my life where I could go, oh, look, I was probably a bit depressed that week or yada, yada, yada. But yeah, in that moment, walking back along the beach, something hit me. And I still look back at now and it pulls at my guts. got in the car, put the dogs on the back of the ute, and I was driving home and I had that moment, that thought. I think no matter who you are, what you are, whatever you're going through, even if you're having a good time in your life, we all have that thought every now and again, like, what would happen if I drove off the side of the mountain there? What would happen if I drove into that tree? 99.99% of the time, it's just a thought, and you go, oh, yeah, that's a silly thought, and off you go, and you start thinking about something else. That day, I had that thought, and it didn't pass in a second. It probably only lasted maybe 5 seconds, but that was enough for me to go, wow, what was that? Like, that was different. And I literally got home, and my partner was at home here, and as soon as I walked through the door, she was just like, what's wrong?
Really?
And I broke down. I was like, I don't know. I think I got in the shower just to try and calm myself down, and then I completely broke down and started crying. Just not so much out of, it was just that thought, just the thought that I had that thought, and that for a split second it was a serious thought. It wasn't just a thought floating through and off it goes. Mm. It was a serious thought. While it only lasted a couple of seconds, it rattled me.
Mm. What happened after
and
that?
That's,
I was going to say, sorry? What happened after that evening, that moment?
It did shake me, but it was also a realization. It was a realization that there was more going on, that while I was making the change, I needed to do more. I needed to keep finding that drive and finding that good space in my life, I guess. So basically from then, it's funny, this the funny part of the story. The next day, my partner, Maggie, took the day off work because she knew that I probably wasn't in the best headspace. Even though once I had the cry, I let it all out, made a bit of a laugh and was like, well, that was a shit hour. We spent the next day, so look, I'll hang with you today, like, let's spend some time together. We walked down the next day to the creek to check my crab pot, and here was this big buck sitting in there. 19.5 centimeters. It would have been 2 kilos. Like, biggest crab I've ever seen.
Well, just
blown away.
I was just gonna go off track a little bit, but just getting a bit weird for a moment. Do you think when your energy changes, your luck changes as well?
100%.
Yep.
100%. Like, I think deep down we all probably know that. And we probably think it's that bit of a mystical, whatever you want to look at it.
Yep.
I think we'll dive into that a little bit later. But yeah, 100%. Like, confidence is everything. And if you're in a bad mindset, if you got your head down, well, you're going to be looking at the ground. You're going to be looking at the dark side.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you're having a good day and you got your head up and you're looking at the sky, well, things are going to be better.
Mm. Yes, yeah, that's right. And usually good things come your way.
Yep, 100%. I think that's evident with just that then. Like, I had a bad day, but the next day I realised that yeah, look, it was a bad day. It was a bad moment. But moments define everything, and you can't let it change your life like that. Mm. And that, so I picked myself up. I had great support with Maggie, and I pulled myself together and went, righto, let's get back up, let's go again. And I think that's a testament of myself and how I have been. Like, looking back, you get back up, you dust yourself off, you put a smile back on, and you go, righto, well, let's go, let's do it again. Mm. And that showed the next day. It was the next day I walked down the creek, and while I did feel a bit goofy after the day before and more sad and disappointed about that thought of even driving my dogs off the side of a mountain, that's more what broke me than anything. Look at that big mud crab in the crab pot, and I went home, and it was success. Mm. I proved to myself that I could do it. I could catch a crab, and I caught the biggest crab still to this day I've ever caught.
Mm. Amazing, mate, isn't it? But I think that's a gift that the popped in your life at the right time for the right reason. And I think the more people that you and I can potentially support in the future to be able to get to that realisation where you got to, then the good things start rolling in automatically. I think we're supported no matter what. We just got to make sure that we try and stay open to what that looks like rather than being able to expect things, you know. I think that's where we get ourselves in trouble.
Yep, 100%. Like, I think that's, people need to realise, like, while you might have a down moment, a down day, a down week, some people, they have down years. Mm. Look, I just came out of a tough year. But you need to understand that it changes. Everything changes. You're not stuck that way forever. Mm. You need to keep sifting through the shit.
Yes.
Eventually you'll get through it. Eventually you will get there. And, hey, look, it might only be the next day, the day that you're at breakpoint. That next day could be your day.
Amazing. That's true, mate. Absolutely. I think that's really important. And the mindset I see of people now of just not giving up and being determined to be able to drive themselves towards getting better and you know, finding that little bit of purpose in their life that can give them direction, I think is really key. And yeah, see, we're lucky now that there's more awareness around this, whereas when I was a young fella, there wasn't, and you just was shut down if you expressed the way you felt, or you weren't feeling right, you felt difficult to go and talk to someone. But now there's enough evidence out there from people that are making changes in their lives that people can observe, and then I think that empowerment's really important. If people can observe what they want in someone else, then they can potentially drive themselves towards that as well.
Definitely, definitely. That's the beauty of this day and age. Like, while the age of information is somewhat of a problem with how much information and good and bad information's out there for people, if you want to learn stuff, or if you need support, or if you need something, you can find it. That's the beauty of it. And hey, that's been my past 5 month journey. A big part of that has been accessing the right information and doing the right stuff with it.
Mate, let's talk about that. So over the last 5 months, you've been on a journey of trying to heal your body from chronic pain, is that right?
Yep. So from that initial injury to when I got my life back on track after moving to Telly Beach with the combos for kids and the mud skipper, which I'm sure we'll jump into after this. I got over that initial stage of chronic pain after probably 2 years post first injury, and then last year I got injured again. And then what transpired was about nine months of chronic pain and about 6 months of my old back issue coming back, the most severe that it had been. Which led me to mid-October last year, which is actually my birthday, I hit another turning point, and I just said, enough's enough. I need to get to the bottom of this, and I need to fix it for my own sake, because I can see the effect it's having in my life again, and I don't want to go down the path that I went last time. Mm. So I did. I just dropped everything. Lucky enough that I have such an amazing fiance, Maggie, that she's been able to support me through this. I literally just dropped everything and went, righto, my health is my number one priority. let's get to the bottom of this. So I started doing half the stuff that I knew I should have been doing all along. I knew I probably will know that we should be doing for most of our lives, which was the two big ones, diet. I adjusted my diet. While I didn't have a bad diet, I had a fairly good diet, or I thought it was a fairly good diet, well balanced. I had a lot of stuff in there that probably wasn't really good once I did a bit more research, which for me a big one was processed meats, ham, bacon, turkey. I thought turkey was a really healthy one. A lot of stuff from the deli, you know, breakfast, lunch. I cut all that out. I cut out dairy. I cut out, all processed meats, and just went back to treating myself to a couple of nice cuts of steak each week. Mm-hmm. And, that made a massive difference just for head clarity, my own body, weight. I dropped not a lot of weight, but you could see my body change. And then the big one, and this is I'll be a preacher about this probably for the rest of my life now. It's meditation.
Mm.
It's something that held a bad stigma. I think it still does. For me and my own life was two conflicting parental views, one for, one against. We probably don't need to dive into that too deep. I think a lot of us probably have that same aspect in our lives.
Yep.
But it always held a bad. Not a bad stigma, but it's something I steered clear of because it's hippie stuff. You know what I mean? Like it's spiritual. It's not improving. And I just went, well, this is something that I need to get my mind under control. Because throughout my journey last year, I hit a point when I'm like, this isn't physical pain. I can see these mental triggers. So I need to heal my mind and I need to gain control over it. And that's what the meditation did. I looked back on days last year when I did originally start meditation back in August, just as a coping mechanism, because I did know that I was burning out, and I was burning out really quickly. So I started looking at that, and then I noticed the days that I did meditate in the mornings were the days when I didn't have a spasm, or they were a day when I had minimal pain. They were days when things went well for me. And so from mid-October, I started that every day. I downloaded the Headspace app, and I just followed that, and it was life-changing.
Mm. That's where it all started for me, mate, back in the day. I actually was one of the first ones to get onto that probably 10, 12 years ago, and that's really what got me going with it. So what we're talking about here with meditation is where it's very simple. We're giving our minds a rest, but we're also settling the brainwaves down. Once the brainwaves get settled down, then the body can follow that, and the body can have a rest too and respond. And in modern society, in the colonial system that we live in, we've been put into stress early. We've been made to sit and think early at school, you know, where we're in our sympathetic nervous system from an early age, from 8 or 9 or whatever, with expectation, judgment, comparisons, criticisms, all these terrible feelings, which are, you know, pretty much normalised in modern society. Now, being a person or being a human, it does not require you to be in that state all the time. You know, our true state of being and our natural state of being is to be calm. When we're not calm and we're stressed, we're burnt out, we're anxious, whatever, it's a clear sign that our nervous system's out of alignment. So for me personally, previously I used to, you know, give people medication for this stuff, but I know now if I can help someone learn to settle their mind down and settle their nervous system and manage that proactively rather than reactively, then they're in a chance to be able, they've got a chance to be able to heal. They've got a chance to be able to reset the way that they function, because when the mind's at speed, the body's always trying to catch up. When the mind's calm, then the body's got a chance to always be healthy and get better, and that is the key humanology which is available in all of us. We just got to be sort of shown the way, and I think the wisdom is innate. Now in the society we're in, we've been triggered to be living the other way. Society is trying to put us in fear consistently in the Western system. If we can sort of be curious to basically say, well, maybe that's not for me, I'm going to go another way because I think it works and you're living proof that that does, then all of a sudden, you know, potentially this is going to become the norm rather than be becoming the weird stuff, if you know what I mean.
100%, like that's exactly right. Like, yeah, I'm living proof of that. Like, from where I went, what I went through last year, it was basically 9 months stuck in the fight or flight mode.
Mm.
I was either on the couch or hobbling around in pain, trying to keep on with my life. And while that was happening, that was nine months of my brain going, I can't. I'm in pain. I shouldn't be doing this. Look out! Don't pick up your shoes. Look out when you bend over. Like I had that many negative programs running through my head, trying to protect me.
Yeah.
But what you work out eventually is that they're also the problem. They're the cause of this. Is you've just got all these outdated programs running through your head that at the start were trying to protect you, but eventually they become the problem. And you need to gain control over that. And to do that, you need to gain control over your mind and your thoughts, which eventually affect your emotions.
Yes.
Or eventually they affect it straight away. Yes. Your thoughts are your emotions.
Yep.
And that's then how your mind and body react. They're together. Like, that's something that I don't think is taught enough. Is your mind and body are connected. It's through the nervous system. And for me, last year, my nervous system was frying. I'd pushed it that many times that what I eventually worked out was these are all just emotional responses to learn programs that were started from when I was young.
Yeah.
That had just evolved. That while they're trying to somewhat protect you, like it was just patterns. And once I sat down and I started journaling this and looking back over that 5-year period and even looking back further through my life, there was patterns everywhere of these emotional responses that would have may have been a previous response to drink, to do other stuff. Like it had transpired into pain. And so anything that happened last year was just pain.
Pain.
It was just a response, and it is mind blowing once you tap into this and you start to gain that awareness, which that is meditation. Meditation allows you to gain awareness over your thoughts it slows your brain down. Instead of it just running at 100 miles an hour, shooting thoughts out, like I think was something I listened to the other day, was the average person has 60,000 to 80,000 thoughts a day.
Mm-hmm.
And something like 90% of those are negative.
Yeah, that's right.
So if that's how your brain's working, well, you're going to struggle to see the bright side. If you're surrounded by news articles and news on TV that are all about bombings and death and someone's been attacked and there's been a car crash, that affects us.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's just evident in that. Like, that was me last year was... Yeah, my brain was just going to stop. And me being me and the patterns that I'd ingrained in myself was like, keep going, be tough.
Yeah, of course.
You've got this, just get the job done, you'll push through it, it'll get better. While in one aspect, hey, what I achieved last year for our business and our cause and our purpose with the charity aspect of it has been phenomenal. It laid the foundations for the success that's happening right now and what's going to happen in the future, but the cost was my own health.
Yes.
Which it burnt me out. It burnt me out. Like, I was aware of it, but I couldn't stop it, and I was trying to manage that. I've used that term a lot because that's how I've tried to do things: is you try and manage around stuff without showing your health priority. And I think that's what so many people do is they get so caught up in living their life and doing the social media and showing such a presence and trying to show everyone how successful they are and how overachieving they are, and is that they don't prioritize the right thing. And it's not till you do that. And for me, November 1st last year, I switched the pain off. Maggie and I went away on a holiday. I knew I needed a break, and November 1st, I switched the pain off. And that was the start of my healing journey.
So that come through meditation, or what else helped you?
like the meditation, the diet, that all played a big part. And so, like, from November 1st until like the start of this year, they were doing parts. I was managing to get, instead of averaging a spasm every 3 days, I was getting windows. I was getting like 7 day windows. I think the biggest I had was a 24 day window, but then the spasms got stronger, which ended up being, I started a new job, had a massive spasm at work, and then I spent about 5 days on the couch and couldn't even bend over after 13 days. It was then I went to a new physio, because I'd given up going to physios because I never got results. Same with the doctors, is no one could give you a good answer. No one ever gave me, have you tried changing your diet? Have you tried meditation? Everyone just wanted me to do some stretching, which is awesome. Like, I recommend that to everyone. Get a stretching routine. But that was about it. Go to the gym, work on your core, have a good day, change how you live your life. You'll never move the same again. Learn how to move differently. That was the response I got from a specialist in Brisbane. Flew all the way there, and I was back in the waiting room in 15 minutes with just go see a physio, learn how to move differently, change your job, see ya. They don't teach that.
I think that is
the problem.
Yeah, big time. I had the same experience. So keep going. I'll tell you about my story, Anthony.
Yeah, so that's my qualm, is the medical industry's got so much to cop up for. But what transpired, I went and saw a new physio. She took one look at me and said, sorry, Brent, you're only done what you've been told and you haven't been told to do the right stuff. Yada, yada, yada. So she set me up with a new program, which was really good, building up my legs, because I'd basically, after my injury 9 months or a year earlier at that point, I'd lost all my leg strength, which then brought my old back issues into play. But my muscles were fried. My brain had got a lot better over that period, but my body was still exhausted. So that was a key aspect. But then it was probably about another 2 weeks later, like, I was riding the high, I was doing good. And then it was 2 days before Australia Day and my back went again, and it broke me again. Enough to say that I had another one of those thoughts, that dark thought that I hope that I'll never have again. It hit me and I was broken again. Again, it was probably a 2 second thought. But it was a real thought. It wasn't just a floating thought that, oh, yeah, off you go, yeah, you dickhead, that was a silly thought, off it goes. It's sunk in for a couple of seconds, enough for me to really feel it and go, wow, am I really that down at the moment?
Yeah.
It was at that time that, again, I knew I needed change. Like, I was trying so hard. Like I said, I was basically dedicating my life to it over that three-month period. Meditation, diet, I'd removed myself from all social settings, no drinking. I was doing it all, but I was just lacking a bit of direction. And so I reached out to a hypnotherapist who I'd previously looked at a couple of months earlier. Reached out to her and said, book me in. I need help. Like, these programs are still running. Like, while I've got control over them 95% of the time now, I was still, like I said, I was mentally and physically burnt out from last year. So I got on to hypnotherapy, and that was just over 6 weeks ago.
And the experience changed you.
Oh, mate, I will say it to everyone now, like, I'm a different person. Not in a bad way, in a phenomenally good way. Like, I'm free. I'm free of my pain. I'm free of the battles in my head. I'm free of the self-doubt. It's like the shackles are off. Mm. And each day, each week at the moment, it's snowballing. My life is snowballing in a positive way. What that enabled me was to switch off that negative gearing in my head and flick a positive switch. like, while yes, I had been doing all of that with the meditation, there was still that deeply ingrained program in the back of my head that said, are you sure you're good enough?
Yeah.
I don't think you've got it. What if the pain comes back? What if all these negative things were true?
Yeah.
And what the hypnosis did, like, from the first, well, I just had my introductory session with Natalie, and we talked on the webcam, and then she said, look, I'm going to send you this audio file. You just listen to it in the morning instead of doing your meditation, and I want you to focus on that fear of picking up your shoes and the fear of that pain coming back. So next morning, instead of doing my meditation, I did my stretches, and then I did the half an hour hypnosis, got up, went to pick my shoes up, didn't have a thought, I just picked them up. It's mind-blowing. I still struggle to try and put it in the best words possible without just rambling. But you just can't explain it. That fear is gone. Mm. What's that fear is gone. And then what transpired over the next 4 weeks was we went through and we worked on all of my different emotions, all of the emotional baggage that I had, all these programs that my subconscious had taught myself from a very young age, that I wasn't good enough, that I felt guilty for some reason, that I had shame and sadness and anger. And we just cleared them. And it's like, it's instantaneous. And like some of the emotions, like we did in the space of probably 5 minutes, we just went back into my past and I was conscious. Like, it's not like what you see on stage. Like, that's where, again, I realize hypnotherapy gets a bad name, a bit like meditation is, like, you think it's going to be like on a TV show where they're up on stage quacking like a duck and and doing all that. It's not. Like, I was completely conscious. I knew exactly what was going on, and I just closed my eyes and my brain took me back to these events in my life, and we calmly dealt with them, let go of whatever anger or whatever resentment and guilt and shame and embarrassment I held on to those memories, and you let go of them, and then you get out of that, and then now I can sit here and I can think about the thing that made me the angriest in my life, that would have made my blood boil, that would have probably ticked me off for the rest of the day if I thought about it. I can sit here and think about it now and it means nothing. I can look at it and go, oh yeah, I can see why that would have annoyed me, but there's just no emotional charge. And if there's no emotional charge, that negative emotional charge, well, it doesn't affect me. It bounces off me. My mood doesn't change. If anything, it makes me smile because I go, wow, like, look at where I've come from, and now I've got freedom. Yeah, like I say, that the shackles are off, and for probably the first time in my life over the past 6 weeks, I truly feel happy, and that's my selling point to people is I know we have happy moments in our life, and we look back and go, oh, that was good, I liked that. It's not until I think where you're sitting where I'm sitting now and your chest feels open, it feels warm, it feels loving, and you just go, wow, it's actually a natural flow of endorphins. And that's probably what I try and tell people is, like, instead of having a happy moment last week, I go, oh, yeah, that was a good time, or I enjoyed catching up with my friends, I'll literally spend hours upon hours at the moment just looking out at the trees or just thinking about something, and I feel pure happiness. Mm. And now I want to make sure everyone else gets to feel that. Like, it's more endorphins, it's more good chemicals, dopamine, serotonin. It's more of that than what any drug on this planet can provide. And I know there's probably a lot of people out there that are going to listen to this guy, bullshit. I'm telling you. It's phenomenal. It's life changing, and that's what I'll tell people. And that's anyone else out there listening to this going, yeah, righto, mate. Try it. give this a go. Give positive thinking a go. Flick that switch. Start recognizing when you're having these negative thoughts and go, yeah, righto, that's not important. I don't need to dwell about that right now. Start the meditation. Try it for a week. Try it for a day. See how you go. Like, what's the worst thing that can happen?
Do you know what, mate? Like, thanks very much for sharing all that, and you're dead right, because people are skeptical straight away when we talk about this sort of stuff. But we've been taught to outsource everything, you know. We've been taught to outsource feeling good through material things or substances or foods or whatever, but we have the ability to turn inward. When we are able to do that fearlessly, then all of a sudden things start to work for us, you know. And through, you know, all the technology we've got within our bodies and our own self, we can actually like really redefine who we are, if that makes sense. And see, we've been put into fear early as well, and that fear is taking us away from, you know, actually tapping into our true potential as humans. So you're a living example of someone that can actually do that. Hypnotherapy, I have never really experienced much myself, but I do know if you can work with the subconscious mind and be able to, you know, shift blocks and beliefs within that, then all of a sudden you're empowered rather than being disempowered. And that's available to all of us if we're actually, you know, curious and open enough to be able to do it. And you saw firsthand what that did for you, because it gave you the belief that you could go and pick your shoes up without any fear. And obviously, once that was gone, the pain didn't come as well.
Yep, I'm now 6 weeks spasm-free.
And
there's no spasm inside as far as I'm concerned. It's a deleted program.
Mm.
It's an old part of me that I can now look back on and go, that was a pretty shit time. But it's that pain, and that's what I say to people, is I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for all the shit things that have happened in my life, because it's now led me to where I am now. At the age of 33, I now get to live my life as a free man. And that might sound real cheesy, but that's just spoken from the heart. It's just, yeah, I'm sitting here smiling right now because it makes me happy. It's really hard to put in the words, and I hope everyone else out there gets to experience it.
Oh, mate, that's true. You just got to get out of the road and be curious enough to let it happen. But, Brent, I wanted to also talk about the great work you're doing. Obviously doing this stuff for kids. Can you tell us a bit about that, like the combo and also the mud skipper stuff?
Yep. So at that time last year back in 2021, basically after I had that break point and caught the mud crab, I decided I needed to take my journey out of the darkness seriously. So I used the last of the money that I had, and I bought a tinny off one of my mates. And I spent about probably 5 or 6 days a week going fishing in the Prossy River here in Ellie Beach. And that place pulled me out of the darkness. That's my home now. I go back there, and it's just got such a warm feeling for me, because it reignited my passion for fishing. Like, over those years, and even over my teenage years, I would come and go with fishing. I'm a passionate spear fisherman, but in those times when I probably needed it, I only used it when I was really, really at my darker points. So I just went fishing, and I really fell in love with it. And in that process, I had a life-changing moment. At the time, like, we'd just moved to Ellie Beach, and so Maggie was up me to clear out all the extra fishing gear that I had. Like, every fisherman and fisherwoman out there, or their partners, know that we have way too much fishing gear for what we need. There's always something bigger and better that you need to buy, another lure that is a must-have. And so I just had a moment one day sitting in the river, and I just thought, geez, what do people out there who don't get taught how to fish by their dads, what do they use for a healthy coping mechanism? Like, what do they have to fall back on? If I didn't have fishing to fall back on, I don't know where I would have been. I look at some of my mates who didn't have that, and I'm like, well, what do you guys do? Like, you got the gym, or people have sport, but then people, they get too old for sport. So they end up just drinking and smoking and going to the pub, and while that's all fun and games sometimes, it becomes a bad habit. And so I just had that thought for a few days, and then one day I was just like, geez, wouldn't it be good if I could give all my old fishing gear to some kids who didn't have that opportunity? So I went home and said, Maggie, I've got this good idea. You're going to love it. I get to get rid of all my old fishing gear. I'm not on Marketplace freaking fighting with people over price. I'm just going to go to the local youth centre and I'll give it to some kids. And that'll be a feel-good thing. That'll be a good idea. So next day, off we went. And I walked in with Maggie and was like, hey, ladies, I've got all this fishing gear. Good deed. I want to give it to the kids here so they can use it. They're like, oh, that's really nice, Brent. But take a look around. Like these kids need a bit more than that. They need someone to show them how to use it. They need mentors. Like, the kids end up here for various reasons. Like, they all haven't got bad homes, but they might not fit in at school. They're on the outer. There's a host of reasons. They need more than that. They need someone to come and help them. And it just hit me. And we walked out that door that day, and as the door shut, I looked at Maggie and I just said, we need to do something about this. I need to do something about that. And that was the moment for me that a fire just ignited within inside me, which that fire has never faded. It only gets stronger for me now. And that fire is my purpose in life now. And that's to bring that opportunity to kids or even anyone. That opportunity to learn to fish and to have that healthy coping mechanism to fall back on when they hit their bad times. So what transpired from there was very quickly, I started getting my fishing gear. I put it on the local Facebook page. I got inundated with people wanting to do the same thing, to donate some old gear. I very quickly found that what limited funds I did have, I was using them to fix up these rods and these kits and try and make them good enough so I could take them to the local youth. I started volunteering at the youth space, trying to do some mentorship. Got mixed feedback. We found a lot of the time the kids would turn up one week and not turn up the other. Mm-hmm. And so I just knew that there was a bigger picture. The more people I spoke to from all walks of life were like, mate, what about me? I'm a single mum. I'm a single dad. I don't know how to fish. Mm-hmm. My kids fishing crazy. Someone needs to teach him. Like, this is awesome. Can we get you help too? And it just started to take off. And I thought, hey, feel good cause. People love to buy shirts for a feel good cause. I'm going to start a fishing brand based around helping kids and I named it Mud Skipper. Mm-hmm. And then that just snowballed. It just kept growing, and so did the demand. Everywhere I looked, people just had their hand up going, mate, what about us? What about us? I snowballed to where we are today, or even last year, I fundraised $4,400 to get our insurances. We were doing fishing clinics for kids with disabilities, kids from DV housing. We picked up a grant from the Mackay Council. It's just been phenomenal, the support we've got. But the downside of that last year, I put my purpose and I put the business and the charity aspect ahead of my own health. Mm-hmm. But that's now thriving. That's my drive behind that's never wavered. I did take a while to find my feet with how exactly we're going to go about this. With a not-for-profit, with a charity, how it was all going to work, how we could help all these people that needed it. But now, after my last few months, turning the pain off, I now know my direction, and now we're setting up to really ramp up and start really making an impact in the community. Like, what we've achieved over the past 3 years, it's basically 3 years this month. From the very first idea of the combos for kids, and now 3 years later, I never would have imagined where we are and what we're standing on the edge of. The kids that we've helped, and for me, that's the big thing. Like, I do these fishing clinics, but they were free. Some of them still are, but you have these kids turn up, and whether they're from an at-risk, disadvantaged background, they could be a millionaire's kid. They come to these clinics and you see them catch a fish. You see their parents standing there and you see that smile on their face when their kid catches a fish or their first fish. Or even adults. We have adults come and they catch their first fish. To me, that's priceless. Yeah. Always has, always will be. And that's our driving force.
Yes.
And that's why, like, we have about 8 staff within our organisation now. And they all are the same. Like, I wouldn't employ them if their driving force wasn't the need and the want to help other people and share that passion. And that's the beauty of it is our cause, our reason why, is why we have the people that we have in our organisation. It's why people reach out from all around Australia. Like, some of the stories, some of the messages I get from people, like my prime example is 2 Christmases ago, I had a guy message me. And he said, Brent, I saw your story come up somewhere. It really resonates with me. I'll give you a little background about me. He's like, when I was a kid, my dad was a professional fisherman. He's like, from as long as I can remember till I was about 11 or 12, I lived with him in North Queensland fishing every day. I was homeschooled. I fished every day. That was my life. Then tragically, at the age of 11 or 12, he passed away. And he's like, I had to go live with my mum in Brisbane, and I didn't handle that very well. I went off the rails. I probably came close to going to jail a couple of times. I fell in with the wrong crowd. I gave up on the world. I just became a menace. I hated the world. He was missing his dad.
Mm.
And then he said, I think it was his 22nd birthday, so it was like might have been the 10-year anniversary or something like that. I'm not 100% on these details right now. I haven't read that message for a couple of years now, but it stuck with me. And he basically said, yeah, on my 22nd birthday, a friend of mine took me fishing. First time I'd been fishing since the day my dad died.
Jeez.
And he was like, that day changed my life. He's like, it opened my life back up. He's like, so from there, I literally turned my life around. And he said, that's however many years later. He's like, I now have a wife. I have 2 kids. I have a stable life. That one opportunity of someone taking me fishing when I was at a really shit time in my life, that turned my life around.
Mm.
So when I see what you're doing, it obviously hits home for him.
Mm.
So he actually said there's a $75 voucher waiting for you at the local Tackle World. Go and grab it, and if you want to use it for what you're doing or if you want to donate it to some kid at Christmas, it's up to you. Just, keep up the good work and know that there's a lot of people out there that you're helping and that your story really resonates with. Have a good day.
Amazing, mate.
I'm goosebumpy right now just talking about that. That's not the only story. There's probably half a dozen. There's probably more stories of people messaging me that they go, mate, your story really resonates with me because, keep up the good work. And that's just more fuel to the fire for me. It's these moments that just keep pushing you on. Like, hey, I still have down days where, not lately, but previously, you're trying so hard and something gets you down, someone says something, someone has a go at you about your intentions. Even though I'm trying to do what I'm trying to do, people think you've got the wrong interests. Like, people think I'm in it for the money. I'm like, if I was in it for the money, I probably wouldn't have lasted any more than 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And here we are 3 years later.
And that's
it's like any business. You can't be in it for the money. If you're in it for the money, you ain't going to last.
Yeah.
You need to find your purpose, and that's what I try and encourage people, and that's why I do what I do, and that's where this is now going. Is it ain't just about the kids, it's about helping everyone in life find their purpose, find that fuel to find your happiness. And if you find your purpose, life will start to unravel for you in a good way.
Spot on. And I'm getting them come through at the other end where they have missed out on opportunities with what you're doing. And they've gone into their adult life lacking purpose, and that leads them, to low levels of self-worth and all that sort of stuff. And, if you can get to that earlier, they're then great. If they can get to that stage where that 22-year-old is dead, then all of a sudden their life can go in another direction. But isn't it funny with that story how that kid had a reason for behaving a certain way, but potentially was going to be punished for that behaviour and not consoled, or had his journey sort of led with compassion to actually understand why he was misbehaving, and being able to get to the core of that and just find out that he actually loved fishing and get him out fishing again. You know, it's not that hard.
Yep, that's exactly right, and that's why I do what I do, and that's why we do what we do with building this community of everyone who's just trying to make a change in other people's lives. For me, fishing is the basis of this, but the more I go down this path, the more I realise that there's more to my purpose than teaching kids to fish.
Yeah.
And that's where we connected a few weeks ago now. I just thought I'd go off on a whim and walk across the road to the PCYC and see what your men's circle and your presentation was all about. And again, I think it's probably another life-changing step for me.
Yeah, mate, absolutely, because it certainly will support you and your well-being, but it'll support a lot of others too, because if that can be intertwined with what you're doing, then the pathways for young fellows when they come through sort of naturally progresses into this. And as you know, a lot of young fellows haven't got positive male role models in their lives, so to be able to get that through something like what we do is really important, because that can just keep people on track, you know. And once people find that direction, that purpose, that camaraderie, it can help them, you know, be really engaged with life and go through life with less challenges. And when they get to those challenges, they know how to overcome them rather than be stuck in them. And that's our birthright at the end of the day, you know, to be able to live that way rather than live in fear or doubt or whatever. You know, I think it's really key and important. But that education can really start with you and what you're able to do with these young fellas, I think, mate. So how can people get... Go ahead, mate.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, look, just backing that up, like 100%. And that's, for me, watching your movie the other night and listening to you speak with your own story and your presentation, that was another moment for me that I was like, yeah, look, I'm all about trying to help the young people and obviously trying to guide the older people as well. But I realised that no matter how much work I do in trying to help the young people, we need to prevent that by helping the older people.
Mm.
The older people are the ones who need the tools, so that then they can live their best life, then they can raise their children the best that they can. That's the aspect that needs to be helped as well, and that's again why I'm stepping in the direction that I am now. That I need to help the kids, but I also need to pass on these tools and this message to the older people as well to help them. Because hey, from what I've learnt the last few months, we're all just troubled kids that are trapped in the inside with this emotional baggage that controls our life until we get to a point that we decide that we want to fix it.
Want to move it on, that's right. It's never too late to do it as well, mate. I was going to ask you, we're running out of time a little bit, but what is the best way for people to get hold of if they actually wanted to do that in the future and maybe look at getting up to the Whitsundays, but also potentially maybe, you know, get some insight into getting something in what you're doing, you know, running in their own regions?
Reach out. Like, I'm on Instagram, Facebook. We have a website, www.mudskipper.com.au. That's Mudskipper with an A on the end.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot me a message. I'm always up for a chat. Like, the past few weeks has been phenomenal. Like, the stuff that's in the works behind the scenes at the moment with people who are hearing my story and going, I want to be a part of this.
Mm.
It's phenomenal. And look, the more people that are doing the right thing, doing the helping each other, the world's going to be a better place. And like, for me, that's something I've always been a big part of with this, is people are very competitive. And look, I was the same. I would compare myself to other businesses, other people. But at the end of the day, if we're all trying to achieve the same thing, which is to help people and not just benefit our own lives, and then we're all doing, it's all working towards the bigger picture. There's no competition, and that's I think what people need to realize. Like, hey, we're all in this together. Why make it harder for ourselves by fighting each other and fighting ourselves? Why not just why not just turn around and float down the stream with a smile on your face instead of swimming upstream into the rapids?
Exactly true. And it's funny, that's all been created for us, but our natural way of being is to be collaborative and compassionate rather than competitive and comparative, isn't it, at the end of the day?
Yep. Yeah, that's exactly right. Like, my, again, I don't know how cliche wrapping up, but my thing is that I try and tell people now, like, there's only one person that's going to change this, and that's you.
Yeah.
And we just have to reach a point in our lives where we decide enough is enough, and I want to change this. For me, pain forced its way. Pain forced me to change. I found myself a couple months ago at a point where I was like, this is it. Mm. I'm mentally and physically burnt out again. What's going to be the change? And I found it. I sacrificed. I did the things that I didn't want to do. And that's generally in life, from what I've worked out, the stuff that you fear, the stuff that you're avoiding, that's the stuff you need to do. That's the stuff you need to embrace and go, yeah, do the work. Your subconscious doesn't want to do it, but guess what? You need to take the reins and go, this is it. I'm going to be the person to change my life. No one else is going to come save me.
No, absolutely. It takes us all a long time to do that because we're all trying to be rescued, but the best rescuer we can have is ourselves, and that takes work, and we've got to put time and effort into that and be curious enough to make those changes like you did and curious enough to actually do something different outside the norm, which can empower you rather than disempower you. I think that's really the key word. You know, work towards empowerment and then you've got control of your life rather than being out of control. And yours was out of control for a long time, obviously. And that takes you to those dark places that you're in. So if people are listening to this and they're finding that's happening to them, you know, get your control back by doing some things which can help line you up again. I think that's really important. And, we've been disengaged from our potential as humans. We've got to be able to tap into that as much as we can. So, you know, full credit to you for doing that. And then just seeing, you know, what we've got available to us, because that is available to all of us, what you've experienced and what you'll continue to experience if you're curious rather than judgmental. We've been taught to be judgmental, like, you know, as I mentioned, sitting and thinking early at school and criticizing ourselves and judging ourselves and comparing ourselves. Well, it's time to move away from that. They're all taught to us, but they're not natural to us. So if we can start to get back to what we're really here for and try and stay aligned with that, I think that's the way forward, mate. But it's been a wonderful chat, and we're going to run out of time, but I really encourage people to reach out to you and to maybe get a Mud Skipper shirt and support you. And, I know we're going to do a fair bit together in the future, but, look out for what you're doing, because it's going to take off and it's going to help a lot of people. And, this stuff's never going to end. There's always going to be young fellas needing help. There's always going to be older blokes needing help. But the quicker we can shorten that gap, then the better off we're all going to be. And, you know, you've got real direction and drive now for what your purpose is in this lifetime. And that's going to, you know, see you through for a great life, you know, which is going to be purely wonderful for yourself, but also purely wonderful for a lot of people that you're in contact with, mate. So I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Aaron. So that's that's what I'll say to people. Look, if you're hearing this and you want to make a change in your own life, or you want to help make a change in your local community, or if you want to help us do what we're doing at the moment and get involved, shoot me a message. Jump on the website. We're very shortly going to be opening up sponsorship packages. So you can sponsor a child for one of our fishing clinics. An at-risk child in our community. You can sponsor a program, so there'll be like a 10-week program or a 10-session program. You can buy a local kid a fishing rod or a fishing kit. There's different ways you're going to be able to get involved with what we do. And if you're looking to do something similar, shoot me a message. We'll have a chat. I hope more people can join me and help making a difference in these kids' lives and everyone's lives, because that's the thing. It's everyone needs a little bit of a helping hand every now and again, but we're all the only person who can save us is us.
Agree, mate. Well said. Really appreciate it, mate. And, yeah, look forward to the feedback on this one because I think it's going to reach far and wide. So, yeah, appreciate it again, mate. Cheers.
Likewise, I appreciate the opportunity.